kind of pushing back against Troy. All right. And they're saying, we're not going to let you control us anymore. We're going to fight for our Greek independence against you. Okay. And so this foundational experience for the Greeks was this thing known as the Trojan War. All right. But back to Dalton's point, so we can close the loop on what Dalton was talking about here. Okay. It's hard to figure out what the heck happened because, guys, there aren't any, like, there's no videos, there's no cell phones, there's no reporters, there's no pictures, there's nothing. But there's something. I shouldn't say there isn't nothing. We don't, you know, nobody was sitting up there drawing about it, right? What we do, though, what we have left to us are stories about the battle, okay? These stories were told at first from father to son, from mother to daughter, over the dinner table. Grandpa, tell me the story of the Trojan War again. You know, you would sit around, guys, I'm trying to get you to get out of our modern world for a little bit. Friends, you know, you don't sit around after dinner and go play Fortnite or Fartnite or wherever you guys are playing. You know, you don't, if you aren't sent to your room after dinner in this world to go do homework. Guys, there's no such thing as like organized school or schooling. It's not a part of this world that we're talking about. So what you did is you know, worked with your family throughout the day. You had your individual jobs as family members. The schooling you got was usually from your mom. Okay. You know, you got some life lessons and things like that generally from dad. Okay. But any type of schooling you got, you know, in terms of, you know, learning, you know, a language and those types of things, that was a communal familial experience. Then at night, man, you sat around and you listened to people perform music. You listened to people tell stories. That's what you did at night. You sat around and you had grandpa tell you the story of the Trojan War. Just like, you know, we did this when we were little kids, man. At least I did. Hopefully you did too. You'd have mom or dad, like, tell me the three bears and Goldilocks again, you know, or tell me the story about these people. Or maybe, you know, mom, dad read you a book at night. All right. And it's a simpler experience. It's a simpler time. And so your mind would wander and you would go off into imagination land and those types of things. That's what these cultures did. And these oral stories, guys, these oral stories were told over time until finally, all right, around the year 800, all right, they're written down, okay? These stories began to be written down finally, okay, because we have a Greek alphabet, all right? And they began to be written down, and we have an individual that it gets attributed to. Does anybody remember that from the reading or from the videos at all? Around 800, these stories began to be written down. The Greeks have a person that they attribute these stories to. Even though we don't really know if this person existed, but the Greeks kind of say that we get the stories from this guy. Does anybody know his name? There. Yeah, very good. Thank you, Sophia. So these stories are attributed to a guy named Homer, all right? A poet named Homer who kind of sits down and says, I'm going to put these stories together, okay? And the stories that Homer puts together, all right, are called the Iliad and – anybody know the second one? The Iliad is the first one. Very good. Yeah, look, excellent. The Iliad and the Odyssey. Okay, excellent. The Iliad and the Odyssey. And these guys, these are stories that had been told orally at the dinner table and after dinner for a couple hundred years by now. But finally, we get this historical experience. The thing is, Dalton, okay, back to Dalton's point, ladies and gents, this event happened, oh, I don't know, around the year one. Let's just say it happened around the year 1000. The stories aren't written before, you know, until we get around the year 800. Let's do our quick Thomas More math. What is that? 200 years. All right. Think some stories and some things can get embellished in 200 years. You know, you think like the, let's just call it like the fish stories tend to, the fish tends to get a little bigger as the story goes along. Right. And some of the stories get embellished and things like that. You better believe it. Imagine, guys. So we just passed the 100th anniversary of World War One. Okay. Imagine if nothing had been written down yet about World War One. We didn't have any pictures of World War One. We just had stories that had been told from 1918 down to now, from great-great-grandpa who fought in World War One to your grandpa, to your dad, to you. And then you have to carry on that story for the next 100 years until we finally can get to the year 2118. And then somebody sits down and writes the history of World War One. How do you think that would go over? You think some things would change over the couple hundred years of yeah, you can be for darn sure things would change. All right. Because right now, guys, there isn't one person alive that fought in World War One. They're all gone. They're all dead. All right. So we don't have any, but luckily the cool thing about what we have in the modern world is we have videos. We have interviews with these men and women who fought in World War One, and we're like, all right, fine. Okay, good. We got that source. We ain't got that with the Greeks. We got this really cool story written by Homer, but it's like, I don't really know how much of this thing is true. There's lots of like stuff going on here that even to our modern mind, you're like, really? And so I want to show you guys, I'll share my screen here with you for a minute just to show you some things that, that we want to talk about. Let me know when this pops up so that you guys can see it on your screen. Once it pops up, give me some thumbs up so we can talk about it. Do you guys see that yet? Yes, no, maybe so. Getting there, almost getting there. Anybody see the Iliad, the Odyssey? Good. Okay. All right. I skipped ahead too far. All right. There we go. All right. Let's see here. Okay. Thanks. So, guys, you got the book on the left, right, which is the Iliad. That's like the first one. These books are like they're like the Harry Potter books, you know, or they're like the Lord of the Rings, you know, or the Hobbit. There's like, you know, different books about the same type of event, and they kind of go in a little bit more or less sequential pattern. The Iliad is about, you know, the first, you know, major battles of the Trojan War, and the Greeks send up their huge, you know, warrior to fight against the great Trojan warrior. Do you guys know any of their names? It's a very interesting person that the Greeks send up because he has a fatal flaw, from where we get our fatal flaws from in modern reading and writing. Shakespeare, right? Bill Shakespeare, if you know anything about Bill Shakespeare, he more or less copies the Greeks' use of a fatal flaw in all of Bill Shakespeare's characters, Hamlet, etc. They all have fatal flaws of some sort. Who is this Greek fighter that had a fatal flaw? Does anybody know his name? Good. Excellent. Thanks, Zach. Achilles. All right. And remember, he had the Achilles heel. All right. Where it's the only part of his body where he was susceptible. Okay. And he fights against the Trojans have a guy that they send up. All right. His name was Hector. All right. So it was basically, guys, ancient battles, Greek and other societies, but the Greeks were big at this. Yes, they would fight major battles against one another, but they would also send up, you would basically take your best warrior against their best warrior, and like a day of battle would be decided with just dude against a dude. And that was it. You would send up like almost like a giant UFC battle where you send your best guy and they pick their best guy and you just put them in a ring and let them go at each other. And that decides the fate of that battle for that day. And that sounds interesting. I'm going to stop sharing my screen for a minute. I'll go back to that in a minute. But all, you know, a lot of cultures do that. There's a very famous story. If you have ever read the Bible or if you've ever read scripture, you have this huge battle between the Philistines and the ancient Hebrews. And the Philistines send up this giant person. Anybody remember that story at all? What was the name of that person? The Philistines send up, a lot of cultures do this. So you see this a lot in ancient cultures, not just the Greeks. I'm trying to give you guys other examples. Very good. Trinity puts it, yeah, and Dalton throws in there, Goliath, David versus Goliath. And so the Hebrews have this guy named David, who eventually becomes the king, and they're like, all right, we're tired of smashing hundreds and thousands of guys into each other and killing them. You pick your best guy, we'll pick our best guy, throw them out there and let them fight, and we'll see who the hell wins. Right? That's not bad. I kind of like that idea. It's much less bloodshed, all right? But you better pick your best warrior to send out there. You know, so I really like those stories. And there's a lot of those in ancient cultures, not just with the Greeks, but, you know, like I said, all across cultures, we have these stories. So, guys, what that tells us as historians is that if there's enough of those types of stories across cultural boundaries, meaning if different cultures are all kind of talking about similar things, that probably means that it happened in some way, shape, or form. The Iliad is not the one that we're going to focus on this week. All right. So stick with me here for 5 more minutes and we'll talk about what we're doing for this week. The Odyssey, guys, is what we're focusing on this week. Okay. And we're looking at different things from the Odyssey and other types of Homeric stories, as they're called. All right. I'm going to show you some video clips from this modern interpretation of the Odyssey. Okay. And the modern interpretation of the Odyssey is a really interesting thing because I want to show you this next slide briefly. And I'll talk about these slides more as we get into the week, guys. And I do the PowerPoint walkthrough and things like that. But I wanted you guys to get a sense of how the Greeks viewed their world. Guys, this is how pretty much every Greek viewed his or her experience on earth. It's kind of like, and sometimes it's called the snow globe belief, all right? Guys, the Greeks believed wholeheartedly because they didn't have anything else to go off of. We now know today that we are not the center of the universe, right? And we know we're not at the center of the universe. We're kind of far flung, kind of schmied out on one far aspect of the Milky Way galaxy, and we're in some sort of arm of that galaxy, and there's a billion, million, trillion other galaxies. That's hard for modern humans, by the way, to wrap our minds around that we're not the center of it all. All right, guys, 2,000 years ago, the belief was, this is it, man. We're the center of it all. The gods interact with us. We're it. This earth, this human experience, this is it. It's like a snow globe. And so we act like we're on a little stage. And the gods kind of mess with us as beings that exist kind of hovering around the snow globe. And every once in a while, the gods, because it's what they do, they shake up the snow globe. and just mess with our lives. Apparently, well, I have a delivery person right now, and the doggies are having their fun with them. Be nice. God, clowns. All right. So hopefully you guys have an understanding of how the Greeks viewed their experience. Okay. And we'll talk, like I said, focus on the notes and get into that. But the cool thing is that we're going to look at this week is we're going to look at how we in the modern world interpret the gods. Okay. How we think about the gods and how Odysseus interacts with them. Because the big thing that the Greeks get into with the gods, all right, is, and I'll type this into the chat, and this will be the last thing that we'll talk about for today, is we human beings, we, and I'm going to put lots of E's in here, we need the gods. And we need the gods. Human beings, the point, guys, if you've ever read those stories, and we'll talk a little bit about them, is that we're nothing without the gods. We human beings are kind of, yeah, we have our powers and our strengths, but nothing we have compares to anything that the gods can produce. So what I'm going to show you guys, we're going to look at a clip where Odysseus fights against the Trojans and he wins and he says, I did this myself and I don't need any of your help. I don't need any of the gods. I did this. Me, Odysseus. And you'll hear in the background one of the major Greek gods, and we'll talk about this god. His name was Poseidon. It was the god of the sea. And basically Poseidon says, yeah, Odysseus, you're not nearly as powerful as I am, and I'm going to punish you for thinking that you are powerful. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to send you on a 20-year journey, or as the book is called, I'm going to send you on a 20-year odyssey where you are not allowed to go back home. And the only way you get to go back home, Odysseus, is if you admit that I'm in charge, that the God is in charge. And see, guys, so what you do is you get this conflict between what's called human hubris or human arrogance versus the God, which is I'm in charge. And guys, hopefully that's a modern connection for you all. If any of you do believe in God or gods or religious experience, if you're Christian, if you're Jewish, if you're Islamic, if you're Buddhist or Hindu, whatever you are, one of the major tenets of modern religion is that you're not in charge. Like, God's in charge. And you have to sort of pray to God for guidance and help. That's a Greek thing too, guys. That's something that you have in connection with these people from 2,000 years ago. And one of the cool stories about the Greeks is that anytime a human being starts to say, I'm stronger and I'm better than the gods, what tends to happen to those people is they get squished. They get knocked back down and told, you ain't in charge. We're in charge, the gods. All right. So guys, that's the big thing we want to do this week. Okay. And that's the big thing we want to look at with forum post number 3. All right. We're going to watch some videos on that. And we're going to talk about that this week. All right. So what do we do for Thursday? Well, for Thursday, let's just bring our general experiences. Hopefully by Thursday, you'll have watched the videos that we posted and looked at some of the notes that we're looking at. And then on Thursday, we will pivot a little bit and start to look at some specific city-states like Athens and Sparta and really how truly interesting and different those city-states were. Everybody cool with that? Awesome. Good. Good, good, good. So we're right about good. Yeah, it's fine. We've been rolling around here for 45 minutes or so. That's great. Okay. Friends, send me any questions or comments you have, all right? I'll get assessment and stuff out to you throughout this week. And I'll see you right back in here Thursday at 11 to talk about some things as we move along with Greece. Cool? All right. Good. All right, friends. Until then, I bid you happy reading and watching. Cheers.